But there would be a procedure. And that's something else I haven't been able to find anything out about, particularly other than that there was one, and they went to the fairground. I can remember, you know, the track and concrete exposed there. And they even left a little bit of the overhead wire, like about half a block or so up there for a long time. I guess they knew they could turn around or something, who knows.
We went on the side of the fairground line, freeway out, the road goes out there. We didn't get down the center of the track, so you see. We went on the side line, side of the street where the, you might say, the sidewalk ought to be.
Yeah.
We went out along there all the way out to the fairground.
You said the switch got road stuff.
Yeah. We had a big switch in there because Ringling Brothers and Barnum Bayless used to have their surfaces right north of Roosevelt with a big vacancy in there. And they used to have them in there. And they were awful nice because we could go in there and load up a lot of cars. And we could use a switch or not use it, you see. And we used to maybe take four cars down there and stand them. We had one old big old car, 33. And we could haul about 165 people in that if we get around there, you see. It was an old gooseneck handbrake, the only gooseneck one we had. Then we had the 40s, of course, of the old days. That 33 was the only one they had. We used it on the drill line after that quite a lot, too, different times. Well, they did use it on the drill line. Sometimes they'd take it off the drill line and surface something like that and come in the house. Because I remember old man Mitchell told me one time, he used to put me on the back end conductor, and you know, he'd say, well, get the fares, whether you get them rang up or not. He'd say, get the fares, because you get that many people trying to crowd through them, you couldn't always get over there to ring them up, you see. And he watched, I guess, and he said, get the fares in there. And lots of times they told me I turned in $10-$15 more than I had rang up and everything like that. I had a sick wife and three kids, two boys and a girl. And I always told my children, as long as they're paying me my wages, I'm going to turn into them if it was.
That's the fair and proper way to do it.
Yeah, it was.
Now, so on the fairground line, you know, it went up to Roosevelt, and then it went to Roosevelt, and then it went up further north to fairground.
Right up along the highway, just to see.
And they go on which side? The middle side?
On the east side.
East side.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it got up to McDowell, what did you have, a turn right into the fairground?
Just a little bit of angle, right out just as close as, you know, where that long building is. We went right in just as close to that fence on that side as we could, right up along in there. And there's room, I think, for about five cars in there.
Was that on this side of the building?
On the east side of the building. Mm-hmm, I think it was on the east side. There's room for us to get in there, and you know, maybe the fence has been set over since then. Maybe it was wider, maybe it was on the other side.
There's a paper dated 1800
that he has. Oh,
that's an old paper. He's got 1800.
Where is Ulster County?
I don't know. I think it's
there.
I think that was in, they tell me they think that's in New York, I believe it is.
Oh, that's remarkable. Well,
that's in slavery time, too.
It sure is. Saturday, January 4th, 1800.
Boy. Up in there about Washington.
Yeah.
Inside the base.
Washington died at just about that time.
Yeah. He's had that sentence in the king. You can't look at
it. It's so dry, you got to watch it.
I don't need more hardly touch it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, on the death of General Washington. I went through Mount Vernon last summer, and that was really a remarkable thing. Oh, it was just beautiful. Just beautiful. By running out of tape, no one in good shape.
Oh, just kidding. Is that all?
Well, see, my memory isn't as good as it should be. And I'm trying to find out all these questions. So,
and you know, we had the Hollywood line, too, here.
That's what I was going to ask you about next.
That went from 17th and East Washington.
Right where the other one ended.
We went around the loop by Washington Street.
Right.
Went over to Jefferson, and we made a two-block loop there from 15th to 17th on East Washington for several years there. In the last few years, they took out the loop and just stopped at 16th just before you crossed, after they'd done away with the Hollywood line.
When did they do away with the Hollywood line?
You know, I can't remember the exact date, but...
Did they ever run new cars on it?
Not only just for... I think they had a Ringling Brothers circus out on 22nd or someplace out there, or something like that one time. And they ran new people cars, and they had to switch cities, they had to go around to the park at that time. That was their stopping point. They could get in there all the time. They had a restroom and run down the restroom here at the Washington Park. That was the only one we had really on the Washington line, carbine and that, you see.
Hmm.
And so, and then the last one, they had a four-wheel car on that, you see. They went and put just two, they made a small street car out of it, and had two trucks in front and two in the back. And it was bogged along because we never hauled it. We went out in the field right in front of the state asylum, about 2600 bucks. 24th is paid, 24th Street. Then we went out into center field. A lot of them people worked over to the asylum and get off and walk. They had a good path across to the, over to the state asylum.
My grandparents used to call that the Asylum Road. They didn't call it the Hollywood Line, although I know...
Oh, they did.
They called it the Asylum Road.
Yeah, I guess they could have called it.
Although I know that it was supposed to be called the Hollywood Line, because that's, you know...
Well, there used to be an old fella out there that was, they thought it was crazy and everything, but the boys would get him, he'd half sole your shoes for him. He'd take him over there and half sole them, and then bring him back and only charge you 50 cents, maybe, you see, for him. And he'd do a darn good job, and he's like that. That'd give him little money. He used to ride uptown and everything. And, free to go and come whenever you want to visit.
So that one, Hollywood, went to 26.
26, just about where 26 would be. There was no street out there or anything like that.
That's really interesting.
But there used to be irrigating water along the sides, and maybe in the summertime, and I know some of the boys, if they get a hold of some watermelons or something, they take them out there and they put them in this running water in the weeds and stuff like that. Then if we had time out there in the evening, we put them in there in the morning, but we run 2 hours or an hour and a half in the morning, and an hour and a half in the noon or something like that. And then maybe a couple hours in the evening like that, up to about 7 o'clock, and then they brought that car into the barn. So
they just had a four, but when they used to just ran it from the end to the other line?
Well, yeah, we'd go to one end just to change the trolley around and stick it on the other end like we did the other car.
But I mean, they would, the regular, you know, that car didn't go all the way down there.
No, we just come to 17th and let the workers come. And kind of turn
around when they came around the loop.
Yeah, when they went around the loop this way, well, we'd run out there and stop opposite them, change your trolley up and go back out through there. And it was a dirt track all the way out there. A lot of times, in the circus time, they get so much dirt on the track, we couldn't hardly get power enough, you know, the ground is so we couldn't hardly get on them. And I said, one time I had to go get a hose from the yard and sprinkle the track a little there to give me traction to get my car started. So.
That's a bad picture, but is that lower one there, that one you're talking about, by any chance?
No, this shows the double trucks here.
That's the warehouse machine.
This shows the double trucks. The way we had it, it just had two wheels here and two wheels here, you see.
I see.
And just a short car, about half the biggest. Better than happy if you're one of those sometimes cars.
Was that a one-man operation?
Yes, yeah, that was always. We never took in very much money on that.
Did that run very often? Or did it?
No, we were, like in the morning, we'd run from, say, 6:30 to 8 or something like that, hour and a half, and then at noon, I think, went out of 11:30, run to 1:30 or something like that, and then wouldn't run again until 4:30. Maybe just 7 o'clock or something like that. I think it was about close to 8 or 9 hour run. It was a short run, and we always liked to, if we had that run, we always liked getting a couple hours extra time someplace else, you know. And so we'd make a little bit that day, because otherwise we wouldn't, if they had plenty extra men, why they'd put somebody on that, you know.
Do you remember when they took the third record line off?
No, I can't... I can't remember whether they took it off before they took the other cars or not. I don't believe they did.
Was that a, did they ever use new cars on the third one?
Not only for an emergency, for fairground breaking up, they're having big doers out there, so I think they could use them. Yeah, I know they did, and they had to have two men on them.
What did they, I know it's, different, but did they use, when they were running, did they use the, some of the older cars on there, even after they had the new cars on the regular deal, or?
Oh, no, no, we used to keep the new cars on the main lines. I came in school, and I even wore some line mostly in the city, as much as it could, the members used their own cars there. On the fairground line in Kenilworth, and the city line, we could get the old movies in line.
Which ones did they use?
Well, that was the, I thought there was the same as the old handbrake things, you know. Some of them, they did convert them over a little bit different later on, you see.
Were those the 40s?
No, the 40s. They was a big, heavy car. I think they sold them to a place in California right at about the time they got the big new cars, because they didn't like them so much. They had the gate. Old Sam Hodges, is any information that I have that he should tell
I think
that.
Joe Smith would be back.
No, I don't think Joe was, because Joe didn't start. I started, Joe started long after I did, you see.
A long time.
Yeah, but he got, doing the bookwork. Oh,
Sam Hodges, yeah.
Is Sam Hodges still around?
Yeah, he lives, him and his brother's batch together there on 12th Street, just north Indian School Road, about two blocks and a little bit east. I can't tell you the number of it, but I don't know whether they have a telephone to help them out, but they're batching up there. He has a brother, Albert, that worked there too a short time, but Sam worked there before and after, and any of us have.
You said before you ran out of power out of the Orangewood line. Is that a common thing, or?
It could be. One time on the Halloween night, they sent me out there, and they sent another fellow along with me, and they'd put some rocks right along beside the radios. And so whenever we got almost to a deadly curve, the front trucks of our car hit those rocks and just rocked us off the rail. There we stalled them. Well, 1 o'clock in the morning, they would shut the power off on that line unless somebody told them to keep it on, you see. If we was far, we'd get their phone call in, why they'd keep the power on then as long as we wanted to. But something like that, you know, is the power used to be weak, awful weak, so you could stick it on 9 parts, and still it's just we didn't have too much power to get along out there. So I know one time going out there, I was awful slow. I was a motorman, and I took the conductor from back east. And going out there, I was awful slow. We got up there and got our passengers all off, and it was a little bit late. Well, going out there, someone got a mule in right away, and he was standing right up along the side of the streetcar line, and where I suppose he had his feet, but he was standing up there, he wasn't on the track. I slammed on my brakes, but I was going by the mule when I got to him, so then I shoved right back out and went on up and the line. Well, when we got through with our passes, I don't know where he went, whether we just popped the desert curve in or not. But this fellow's named Shorty Baker. We called him Shorty Baker. Richard Baker's on there at the time. And when he got out there, Shorty said, "Why don't you stand in the back?" And he says, "Let me take the front end." He said, "Maybe we can gain some of this time going in." So I said, "Well, all right, Shorty." But I said, "It's against the rules, you know, for it to change. I'm supposed to be the motorman." "What's about what? Careful." So I got in the back end, and he was just opening up. It's down grade, you see, on Cross Street. And he was just opening up for everyone. And pretty soon, I had to think about this guy on the wheel, and I thought, well, if he'd get on that track, we might hit him the way he's going, because that old handbrake, he had the old handbrakes at the time. And I started through the car just as I did. He slammed on the brakes, and I heard something rip inside the streetcar. Yeah. The side of the streetcar, and I went out and I said, "Shorty, for God's sake, watch out for mule gun." I said, "That's the thing about it." And he says, "I guess that's just what it does." He said, "I seen his head sticking out this way." And he said, "I guess I turned him around." We got down there and we found a little crease there on the center of the side of the streetcar. I don't have this on me. We found this on the side of the streetcar. A little hair and stuff where there's a little sticker stuck out. This little piece of molding or something, you know, like you would be on a set of flapping. And we found some hair in there, and like we got some hair off of this mule, right? So we went and took that out and got some button put in there. We went on and didn't say nothing about it.
No, I'm afraid the statute of limitations is run. We don't really have anything to worry about.
But that was a funny thing.
Well, there are a lot of funny things happened
on this. Well, I really did. Another time I was motorman and I'd crossed Indian School Road, and I still haven't gone speeding up pretty fast, and Bob Boris, my conductor, and old Bob said to me, he said, and he looked up and he seen the curve, and there was a square, pretty near square curve down where we turned on the Fairmont, and old Bob, he didn't wait for me to tell me, he reached out and grabbed the old lever and pulled her clean out the floor, and he slid around that corner. But we might have run right straight on it. Yeah, but I was going so fast, I wasn't thinking about hitting that curve, you know. I bet we'd have jumped the track. He pulled that little lever down about 30 feet before we got that corner. We slid around the corner, all right, and everything. Of course, it didn't do the brakes any better, the wheels, because that's fine, you know, we all put those flat wheels on.
Yeah. And the lines were coming all the way downtown, didn't it?
Yeah, we went back out to Main Line, and we'd pick up on, if this is what it owned, Indian School Line, or we'd pick them all up.
Was the Indian School double track then, or was it just single with switches?
It was double track mostly on the, it was double track most of the way, only just for a couple blocks there, like down to Cardin or something like that. You see, the switches between Cardin and Fairmont or something, there. And I think we come under on the single track and fired and it's on the other way.
Yeah.
And then it's double track.
And that was sort of in the middle with the road on each side, I guess. Yeah.
Well, just trail. No, there's a trail on this side, but there was nothing on the other side. Because I know when you get up to, all the way up through there, there was no road on the other side.
Which side was the road on?
On the east side.
East
side. Yeah, there's a trail on the east side. Because I know where this one used Judge and her Carol friends lived on 2nd Street. And then, you know, they used to ride in their car.
My father told me one time, he passed away in 1954, but he was... had a motorcycle. And he said, I might forget the story, he said he was going out to visit some girlfriend on his motorcycle and he had a white scarf on. And he was going by the side along there by the Indian School Line and it was muddy. He said he went up to cross over. Apparently you cross over the, you know,
right.
Where the intersecting streets were.
Yeah.
And the thing that went out to me, he said he had a white trousers and a white shirt and a white scarf, and he said he was just all mud. And I'll never forget that story, but that was really out in the country then.
Yeah, that's kind of old. You know, this old top messenger shot down there after there's Al Bravo in there, and then
they had that.
There's a bend in the track.
What was that stretch that they had? They had one block in there laid in concrete. How in the world? Why did they do that?
I believe that was from Palm Lane to Mount Vista.
Yeah.
Well, I think the residents must have. There's some pretty rich people living there.
But that was all by itself.
Yeah, that's all there was. And then just beyond that, why, there was some dirt all the way down through the thing.
Well, I can remember my grandfather used to take me for rides on Saturdays. We'd go for trolley rides on Saturdays. And we rode on all the lines. You know. And that was a fine one because that was kind of out in the country.
Yes, that's true. That was really about 3 miles, you might say, 40.
now my office is right there in the First Presbyterian Building, which is on the way to Clarendon. No, not Clarendon, but Earl Drive, you know, right?
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, right across there from Goldwater's and Park Central, and there's big office buildings and everything, and that down about in the country.
Yeah,
I'm not sure that things have improved for the better, really.
Yeah, it's everything's
perfect.
Everything.
Yeah.
This old place right here, you'd be surprised.
But you're on a kind of what's considered to be a main street, is what that's called.
Yeah, business. Yeah. They were taxing me for business here, and it's still a residence. You can't do anything about it.
Just the last couple of years, it's your government.
Couple, the last 4 or 5.
Time flies so fast.
Been here 28 years.
What's it doing?
Right here.
Well, that's really funny. You never actually ran all the way into Glendale.
No, just trips when it's breaking in is all.
But they did. Were they running it in Glendale sometimes, or just?
Oh no, they had regular scheduled trips before that. They had certain times.
And then other times when we went part of the way.
Yeah, they're like coming out of the town at 10 o'clock at night or something like that. I don't know whether they... I never did get out in daytime after that. I never did that get out. I worked at 10 o'clock and the 12 o'clock shifts. Maybe I'd have another run in town where I'd get off 8 or 9 or get 33 cents an hour, you know, and 40 cents an hour. I have to take in and put in all the time I could, you know. And one time I worked from the first day of I had 15 days of working a year straight, Sundays and all, you see. And trying to get in, make both ends meet, you know. So we had to put in all the time we could.
What did they do when you first went to work there? What kind of equipment did they have? They just had... they had a whole bunch of cars that got the same Diego.
Yeah. They changed them over. They reversed them. When they got them to San Diego, the seats turned out about 2 or 3 seats. People used to sit over, I guess, at San Diego, you see. They was over there for the expositions or something. And the seats turned out and they sat with the feet out, you know. There was nothing over them. They tell me I didn't see them when they... But they said they just reversed them over and put them inside and made it a streetcar out, and the center of it was closed in, but the front end wasn't closed in, only just the front end of the streetcar and the rear end of the streetcar. And the sides of it.
Did the people face sitting in then?
Yeah, they faced one another inside the streetcar.
And they rode sideways?
Yeah, sideways. Yeah. But when they got the car, they claimed that it was reversed, set with their feet out all the time.
Did you drive any of those?
I drove the ones after they reversed them. I never did. I didn't get here in time to see the old ones when they first got them.
Did they have air brakes on those?
No, no, they were just hand brakes. Big old Johnson bar that we pulled back. We'd have to release that in time, too. If we didn't, we'd stop with a jerk, you see. But we had to learn. They looked awful awkward, but they done their work all right. Every time it gives any troubles when they get leaves or something like that. They didn't have no sanders or anything to the track. But when they got the new cars, then they got a box of sand underneath there. But it was only on one end, so that wasn't too good either.
How did you release the sand?
Well, we had a foot pedal on the front. We would try to find that, and that would have a little sand spray down underneath that. In front of each wheel, it was supposed to be.
Did they ever, on those new cars, did they ever try out any kind of a warning device other than just the bell that clang? Did they ever have any kind of a ringing bell or anything
No, I don't think so.
I remember during the war they painted one of them up for advertising the waves. They painted the streetcar blue and various colors. They advertised joining the waves or the Navy or something.
No, I don't think so, because I know they didn't have any major noise. They told me when I took the last one in that time, they wanted to get some of the commissioners and on there and everything, and they had a flat wheel there, and they told me to make as much noise as it could, you know, because there was quite a bunch of the city dad drove down, you know, and down the road, down Washington Street, clattered to clatter, you know, cromping the bell now and then, more than I would have any other time, you know.
that, I know that in some of those, one of those cars, I don't remember which one of them, seems to me that it was kind of sprung or off-center or something. In other words, it was kind of like the body was twisted or something. I can't remember which one that was. But we used to pay very close attention to when we rode them, you know. I like the ones in Pittsburgh one. They ran 505 and 514 with a couple of in on there all the time. Yeah. And I always enjoyed those for some reason.
Well, it seemed like they always put the flat wheelers on the fairground line. There's a little short guy who used to work for YMCA. He worked there for a good many years. And he lived about three blocks this side of the fairground, and he said when I went out, well, he said it always woke him up, and he'd have time to dress and put on his shoes and come run all across, catch the car coming back to town, and he was working his wife, so he'd eat downtown anyhow. And one morning, I come back down on there, and I almost stopped, and I couldn't see him no place. But they changed streetcars on him and gave me one that didn't have a flat wheel on it. It wake him up. He calls up for that. It calls up Mr. Newcomer, I think, was president, running the outfit then. And he called up Mr. Newcomer, and he wanted that, as you say, 505 or something, put back on there because it had a flat wheel. He said, "That's my alarm clock." They got quite a kick out of that.
You know, you could hear. I mean, you'd always know if you weren't listening, you wouldn't hear. But if you wanted to take the car, you would listen, and you'd know, well, one just went up,
yeah,
or
right.
One's coming back.
Yeah,
I mean, it just really worked out beautifully. You just couldn't ask for it being better. I don't know. Well, I've had a lot of funny things happen, though. I remember sometimes somebody ran one off the end of it.
I think there's two of them different ones. I don't know whether it was Jess Flemings. I think Jess Flemings, he lived up there on the 23rd, and it seemed like Jess was one of them, and George O. Ford was the other one that ran off the west end. 22nd Waddies. They didn't put on their brakes quick enough. I thought they had another block to go or something like that. George O. Ford, I thought it was the other man, Ford. He had a girl in there, he thought he had another block to go. When he ran out and probably it didn't have any more power, it got dark in there about 10 o'clock at night.
So the car is still rolling.
Better be careful if you tell.
Well, I don't know about for sure, but I know there's two different ones, it seems like.
Well, we used to, when, as I said, I was about, well, from the time that I was born, we lived out there, and I guess I was 5, 6 years old, and we used to, I'd ride up in front, and the motorman used to always let the kids turn the crank on the fare box.
Oh, yeah.
And you could well have done that for me, you know. Mm-hmm. And it was real. I'm not kidding. He was one of the, you know, one of the ones.
I didn't recognize you, though.
Huh?
I believe you recognized
me. Well, you can't tell. I look a little different then. I didn't have a mustache, and I was about that big. But I recognized him as soon as I saw him.
Today?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And we used to...
He used to be a lot fatter now.
Yeah, but the kids that used to live out there, we'd go down there, and some of the guys would let us change the trolleys. And then everybody wanted to get on the back end of the Capitol West Adams car. When it would come up and it'd stop and the people would get off, everybody wanted to get in the back
before he changed
trolleys. And I don't know why that was. It seemed to me that apparently you weren't supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And there were two schools of thought. Some of the motorman let you do that, and some of them ran you off and wouldn't let you do that.
You was how old?
I don't know. 5, 6,
was
and up.
Ernest Howard and living out, Peter's house. Was he living out there then, that time? You see, I lived just on Monroe, just above him, because Ernie, we had some cows way down below, across the track, and they used to come up and get milk at our place there. That we lived up on 26 West Monroe, I guess it was. And they lived on the corner there on Adams, Peter's house.
Yeah, well, they He used to walk, he lived on Jefferson.
On Jefferson.
Yes, Jefferson.
On Jefferson, 22nd.
He lived between 22nd and 23rd on Jefferson, on that side of the street.
Right just next to that old canal, you know, there's the old canal in there. You know, when Ernie Sauer went back east and just right up about him, boy from the west didn't smoke or anything like that, you know. Mrs. Sauer's, if I, you know, remember Ernie, he got us on the police force and finally retired from it. And him and my boys used to have a tree house up in those willow trees along that canal, and they had their cigarettes and stuff hid up in there, you know. That was the thing that happened.
My grandfather and grandmother and father and everybody grew up right there in a two-story house on 22nd and Jefferson. And there was a grocery store on this side of the street over here, and this house is on, it's still there, it's on the south, on the northwest corner. Big two-story house with kind of pillars out in front of it, and palm trees, and you see the eucalyptus tree there. Anyway, Mr. Sowers used to walk by when I was like so, every night coming back from work, he'd kind of get off the streetcar and walk by in uniform, and we used to kid him, sit there and always say hi to him, you know, that kind of stuff.
Well, you remember then when rebuilt the store down on 22nd and Jefferson, there, that big store down there?
Leeper was the guy that owned it for a while.
Landy. Well, we built that building on the corner. My wife worked in there, and she'd work in there at 2 o'clock, and then I'd go in there after I got off in the streetcars, work till evening. But oh, there was another old fellow who had more money than we did. We built the building there. There was a... And old Judge Phillips just lived down in Washington Street, just below us down in Midland. I ought to remember you, but I've seen so many people I didn't try to remember. And another thing I found out, I didn't try to remember names. Now, Walter Newhouse, you remember him on the street. Huh?
Yeah, he was what we called him, Watch Your Step.
Watch Your Step, that's right. Very good. Yeah. But he could, if he heard your name once, he could remember 10, 20 years after.
You know, that's what he always say, you know, Watch Your Step. Yeah. Watch Your Step. And that's what everybody called him, yeah. Watch Your Step.
Yeah. He died here about the... 8 months ago?
Well, he and my grandmother used to go through this routine. I don't know how long he had worked on the streetcar, but ever since I remember. And the person in depression, a nickel was a lot of money. And everybody knew, and my father and grandfather were working sporadically, and everybody knew that drove those streetcars. I mean, they've been looking at me ever since I was born, and if they could count, they would know that I was 5 years old, and that was the break-even point, you know. You're supposed to pay after you're five. And especially, I remember this with Watch Your Step. He and my grandmother had this routine worked out to go down the streetcar, and he knew I was five, and my grandmother, bless her soul, she just died last year, knew that he knew that I was five, and he'd say, "How old is the boy?" And she'd say, "He's not yet five." And he'd say, "All right," he wouldn't charge the boy. And I did this for about 2 or 3 years. I mean, just terrible. You know, I've never forgotten that.
Yeah, well, it was awful good that way. He was just as honest as he'd be, though. He was a fine boy.
I never forget that. Yeah. It was really, really something.
He always had something good to say to you.
Yeah, well, I better get on the way here. I've belabored you.
Here was something I was going to try to open that quilt.
You haven't got them all yet?
I had 14 of them in the safety wards when I quit.
How about that?
I was driving, they said 40, 45, about 1,000 miles a year. And I changed over from streetcars to buses, still kept on driving without accidents, you know. I got 2 1-years there, and to start with, I had like 14 days of having 2 years in, and I get a car down in Fort Van Buren, and they charged me up with it. It was a safety stop, and the fellow didn't stop, and I hit him, you see, but they charged me up with it. That's how I come to get 2 1. And then I was determined again to start in. And so
did
I've got one more bad trick I hadn't thought of.
Who had the, somebody there, there was a collision on up by St. Mary's Church, and up in St. Mary's Church, and some guy drove a car into the front door of one of those street cars, and I don't think they ever even rebuilt it. It was toward the end there, in 1947 or thereabouts, maybe. I think they had it. I used to go out and look around the car barn from time to time, and it seemed to me they had it sitting there for a long time. I think maybe it was 501 was the number on it, but it just completely smashed up the car, but it also smashed in the door there, and the street car. It was on the right side, right there. It's on that street where the Republican Gazette is now. If you went up on the lawn, but there were no stop signs there. Mm-hmm. Were there very many wrecks with the streetcars at all?
Oh, we had quite a few, not sure. Many bad ones. They always tried to make them bad, though, any little thing they could, they'd try to sue the streetcars for it, This fellow that I hit there, Fortin Van Buren, his wife said to him, she said, I told him, she says, the first thing, he was going to get hit some of these days. She says, he never would make a safety stop when he's supposed to or anything. But still, they held that against me for the 14 days, and I had $100 bonus and besides my safety award. And she said that, this fellow's wife did, but still, they gave me a...
You mean they wouldn't give it to you?
No, they called it my accident, you see.
Well, you certainly can't accuse the streetcar of changing lanes.
No, I had to stop, that's all I could. I just barely smashed the side in a little bit.
Did they run the new cars on the loop on East Lake Park? Did they stop that?
Oh, no, they run them down there for several years, I think. We had one fellow by the name of Cooksey, and it was wet, awful wet, pretty rainy day. He was coming around there and coming out from Jefferson on 15th again, and coming around that curve, the trolley jumped off, and Cooksey, he was the conductor, and Jess Fleming was the motorman, and Cooksey leans out the back window and traced hitting the trolley with it, where the rope was all wet and everything, and he was giving him a double short. He couldn't, I guess he hit the trolley wire, but he had a hold of the rope and he couldn't let loose, He began to holler and yell and to beat off. Well, this Jeff Fleming, he used to work in the coal mines back east, they said, and he knew if he went back and grabbed him, he'd get it too, So he took his shoulder and bumped him out to the north, up his track. Coach, he got up and finally shook himself and got around and said, "What the hell are you trying to do, kill me?" he says. I always remember that. But Cookie, he was always having accidents.
What'd they do? They run that down, you run on the Washington Street line all the way down to 16th, and then you turn...
17th.
Yeah, and then you go down to 17th.
And Jefferson, round out to, one down Washington Street to 17th, and then out around. By Jefferson to over to East Lake Park.
Yeah, and then they came back right up by that Chinese grocery.
Yeah, that's right. Back and then back onto Washington. Yeah.
There's a piece of track that's still exposed out there, where it turns.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. I didn't know that. Yeah. I never paid no attention to go along the last one.
Because they left after they took that off, of course. That switch was still there for a long time. I guess it's still there under the concrete.
Oh, yeah. Somebody, that was a... spring switch in there, so it just opened up to let you out and close up after.
Were all those switches, were any of those switches electrically operated, or was it all spring?
Well, we did have them later on. We got some electric switches there. After they got them regulated, they got a box over on the side, and so we could give it some juice, pop the switch open it. But before that, we had to get some good bars over there.
How did you pop the switch? What did you do with the electricity?
Oh, well, I'd give it a point on the controller or something like that.
Something like that, that's all it would go. I always wondered about that.
Yeah, I was given one point, I think it was, and then we would open the switch, and then we put on the brake quick, but it didn't open, so we just stopped pulling the open switch.
Well, I better get out of your hair.
We'd have to have the point, we'd have to have the one point on when the trolley hit the breaker on the line, you see. And when it hit the breaker, that throws the switch over to stay that, and it'd stay that way for a minute, too.
Well, if you don't mind, I'd like to come back some other day and chat with you some more.
That's fine.
This is lots of fun to me. Because there just isn't anybody around that knows about all this sort of thing. And I can find photographs.
What about Rutherford?
Well, Rutherford
didn't
know things.
You don't know so much?
No.
He's pretty
smart. If I can ever get to talking with Sam Hodgson, I know he'd like to.
He'd be great.
Oh, I'd be delighted to give information to him.
I'd certainly like to talk with him. And
Joe? How about Joe?
Yes. Joe Smith? Well, Joe was not so much. Joe done the book work
it's
there.
Just you and Sam.
Sam was the oldest, because he'd worked so many years even before I did.
Find out where Sam is, but well,
if
Joe.
You give me your name and your
got,
name.
Is you that got your home phone?
Both.
Either one.
Both, yeah, either one.
That's if I give you, because Sam likes to get around and talk. He's about, I think Sam was 81 or 2 years old, but he likes to talk. Yet. And,
well, I'm sure
you want to get a spittoon around so he can, he always shoots the back.
That's all right, my grandfather used to do that. I'm used to that sort of thing.
Sam used to work on the streetcars, and if I was a conductor for him or something like that, and he'd keep advancing back, you know. If he'd see you coming up there, he'd have to open the window and take a spit before he gets there. Yeah. That's the only thing happens to be that. I'm sure he could give you out of anything if I didn't know. I know he would.
No, and sometime next time I come back, I'd like to perhaps borrow your pictures and have some reproductions made.
Well,
if you wouldn't
take
mind.
Them down.
You can take them if you
take them and just so he gets them back.
Well, I'll be happy to take good care of them.
Yeah,
I'll bring them right back.
He kind of likes to look at them once in a while. Tell you, for the grandkids.
Tell you what I'll do. I've got some extra pictures of these. Would you like to have some of these?
Well, yes, that would be kind of nice.
Okay, well, I made up several extra ones, and you can have this whole set if you'd like to have them. The little ones, too, because I got plenty of those.
Well, I don't know if I'd need so many of them.
Well, how about the big ones?
Yeah, just let me have one or two of the big
ones. I've got duplicates at home. I've got lots. If you'd like to have all of those, you may.
Well, I'll tell you what I do. We have a picnic every twice a year, and from 11 till then, I'd be glad to take them out there and show them to the boys the other time these leaves like that.
Well, you can have those.
I'll try and get Sam and get in touch with you before, because he just loves to stop down and talk to anybody. Well, he likes to talk anyhow, Sam does.
He likes to talk in general, and we'd be very happy to talk to anybody in particular,
He worked here when the cars did turn the corner there at Corey's old store, you know, and go south. Sam worked on that when they did do that, you know.
That was back in the days when they called that the New York store
instead of Corey's.
What's in
that now? Phoenix College, the downtown, you know. Well, I don't very much, but I have to go to the courthouse periodically, and when I have to go down there, when I get downtown, but I want to make sure that
here's your book here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That I do want to take home.
Mm-hmm. This is a picture of your old Marta Little Stevens. Yeah, still belong to that yet. There it is, this is my old.
Amalgamated Association Street and Electric Railway Motor Coach Employees of America. Well, how about that?
Mm-hmm. 19. Yeah, we took them out. Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I don't want these clippings I can't get pictures of, but the pictures I can have people take pictures of.
You say you're in the law business?
Yeah, I'm an attorney. That's streetcars is my hobby.
Can I go in there, bro?
That's my occupation. Been at it, 13 years now.
Oh, yeah.
Longer than Kim, how time flies.
Well, let's see. Oh, we get them all on them because that is anytime we should want them down here to replace any of them.
Well, what I want to do is have these carefully reproduced.
Yeah.
So these are really priceless.
Well,
I'm going to publish a book, and I've got a lot of pictures and I've got a lot of material, and there are lots of books published in the on various polylines and so forth, you know, and actually there's a pretty good market for it. It's not as economically crazy as it may sound. I have one of these.
Oh, good. Yes, you do have
that one comes from the Department of Library and Archives.